All right. Well, Kevin Barker, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Washington Nationals 5-2. They're in a position to sweep a series tomorrow. Mackenzie Gore on the mound for the Nationals. It's not going to be easy. But the bottom of the order tonight, Kevin, specifically, well, I'm going to include George Springer in there, but Springer, Wagner, Clement, and Roden. Really, the tail of this game, I think, as you know, Chris LaRue mentioned this and Ben Shulman mentioned it as well, 12 hits, all singles, strung together mainly from the bottom of the order. Yes, Bo Bichette gets the big hit, the hit that kind of that put this thing to bed, and we'll talk about Bo in a minute. But through six games now, you know, we've talked about the lineup and how it's top heavy and how there's a, you know, there was a big fall off between number three and number four, or the number three in the cleanup spot. We talked about all this. What do you make of this lineup that John Schneider has put out there so far?
Yeah. We've heard the hitting coaches talk about, you know, at times you need different clubs coming out of the bag. And I think that's sort of what you're seeing. You know, you're seeing count. You mentioned the second inning. You saw Kirk count leverage. You saw Springer and count leverage. You saw Will Wagner and count leverage. He's talking about the bunt signal, right? That's baseball IQ. You see the third baseman back, you bunt, you got enough speed. You get a good enough jump out of the box. You're probably going to be safe. Allen Roden staying in the big part of the field, not trying to do too much, right? You don't want party out front all the time, especially with a guy on the mound who's a veteran dude who knows how to add and subtract, who is watching your swings. You take Big Daddy Hacks. Look at how he attacked Bo Bichette, right? Mm-hmm. You saw him opening his front side. What's he going to do? Change speeds, have it moving down and in. Let him get himself out. It's that kind of thing. In the eighth inning, you know, you're seeing Wagner trying to bunt guys who are throwing that hard that are left-handed. I mean, you know, he bunted it back to him, but you get them involved.
Yep.
That's what you do, right? You put pressure on defenses. You put pressure on guys late in games that are coming out of pens that, quite frankly, aren't used to fielding their positions, and good things can happen. And, you know, the Springer leading off single is a huge deal, right? Get your foot down early. I talked about that today on our show. Give yourself a chance. You know, give yourself a chance to use the barrel. The only way you're going to do that is to get your foot down on time, get in an athletic position, and fight your way to different quadrants. You're seeing Springer do that. He's covering velocity. He's beating the guy to the spot, which, you know, it's been a while since we've been able to say that. And what can you say about Bo Bichette, right? The two-strike approach again. He hadn't had good at bats today. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd had some bad at bats yesterday. He's getting too, you know, frisky when it comes to trying to bridge people. I said that today. He doesn't need to do that. Keep the front side in. Allow your talent to take off over the bat-to-ball skills that you have. Think about right center, which is the way he thinks all the time. You do that more times than often, you're going to get hanging breaking balls to have a little party out front. And I just don't sort of understand this early in the season the way he's having his approach. I like it that hard thrower that's left-handed puts him in a hole. He quiets it down. All he's trying to do is stay inside the baseball. He watched the guy in front of him get an elevated fastball with true strikes. That's what he's thinking. Think staying inside the ball. Think shoulder square to the target. Let the barrel take over, and that's exactly what happens. Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good. Flatten the barrel out. Give yourself a chance. Don't have that steep hand path. That's exactly what Bo did. They needed this win, Jeff. I mean, you can't get beat by teams like this. And then Jeff Hoffman come in. Me and you joke about this all the time. That's exactly what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is, you know, no disrespect to Jordan Romano, who was here last year, but there's a difference.
There's a difference.
There's a difference between the way Jeff Hoffman goes about his business and Jordan Romano. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. If you want to text us, 590-590 is the text line. Please leave us your name and location. Standard data and message rates may apply. Jose Berríos, the starter tonight, Kevin. Sailing, for the most part. Ran into some trouble in the sixth inning, third time through. We've talked about his fastball command, and I thought early in the game he had good fastball. I mean, he struck out what, four of the first six batters he faced. The ball didn't get out of the infield for the first three innings. But it just seemed as if, and I know we saw Pete Walker go to talk to him about this. It almost seemed as if he tried to get a little cute the second or third time through.
Yeah, well, sometimes he chases spin.
Maybe that's wrong. Yeah, getting cute is probably the wrong phrase, right? But chasing spin.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that is, you know, he relies on a lot of, you know, changing sort of the way he grips the baseball. He wants to start it at certain parts of the strike zone, certain parts of the hitter standing at the plate where he wants the ball to end up. That's sort of, you know, we saw a lot of the A delivery tonight. You know, you talk a lot about A swings at the plate, like we talk about Kirky. How many times can we see it when he's trying to catch 115 games? I think with Jose tonight, you saw a lot of A delivery, right? He stayed within himself. He repeated that delivery. He had the same release point. That allowed him to have the front hip two sinker to the lefty. You know, the slurve was down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just mentioned that he wasn't chasing spin. When his delivery is on point, he has the same release point. He's falling off towards the catcher and not so much off towards the first base side. You know, when he wants to really give it the oomph and try and make it break more than he actually has to try and make it, that's when he sort of gets the way you mentioned to where it, you know, it just didn't look the same like he sort of looked in the sixth inning. But, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what the doctor ordered. That's exactly what you're supposed to do as a starting pitcher. Give your team a chance to have a couple of big innings. And this is exactly what happened. So I just like the delivery. It looked free and easy, repeatable. We saw a lot of A deliveries. You see that? The ball's going to move, go where it wants to go, go where it should end up, and he'll stay out of the middle of the zone. He's out of the middle. He'll go deep in games.
416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Carlos in Richmond Hill, you're on Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. Nice win today.
Great win. Yeah, nice win is right.
Two questions for you guys. One, I know we're six games in, but as it becomes evident that last year was a fluke year for Bo and he's back to 23, 22 and so on, if Vlad is not signing the contract, at some point you got to figure Bo's going rate's going to be 250, 300. At some point, they got to move on and sign Bo first. And I wanted to get your thoughts on, we butchered the Vlad timing. I really hope as a fan they don't butcher this one, because Bo looks like he's the same guy from all but last year, no?
Yeah, Carlos, thanks for the call. Listen, you know, we've talked about this. There's been so much focus on Vladdy and not much focus on Bo. And I think the major reason is, you know, Vladdy's contract is going to be the one that's going to be the big nut, right? That's going to be the one that is going to set some sort of record. It's the one that is going to, frankly, it's the one that's going to set the market for first baseman. I mean, there are a lot of people watching what the Blue Jays do with Vladdy. I mean, listen, I'm with you. You know, Bo's had one really bad year. The rest of the time, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball. I think when he's healthy, he's capable of winning a batting title. I think he's, you know, and I don't think we say this enough, I think he's really improved defensively too. You know, when you consider he's had like 150 different second basemen for most of his career, I think he's improved a lot defensively, and I don't think we give the guy enough credit. I honestly don't know where the Vladdy thing is going. We know his agents were in town over the weekend. We know that his agents met with everybody they need to meet. No idea where that's going. I think it's a good sign that they're still talking, or that they were talking face-to-face. It gives me maybe a little more optimism than I would have had, I don't know, three weeks ago. But yeah, it gets interesting. If Vladdy just has a so-so year and Bo has a really good year, you know, and this fan base wants this team to commit to one of those two, I think. And I think if Bo has a good year, it might, you know, that might change a little bit. The emphasis from fans anyhow may be committing more towards him than Vladdy. But it, you know, Kevin, I want to talk about Bo. The interview Caleb Joseph did with him on Blue Jay Central. He had a line about, this is Bo talking, saying, I'm as clear-minded as I've been in 3 years. And you talked about how his bottom of his you know, the bottom part of his body's different. It's bigger. He's obviously done some squats.
Sure.
Yeah. And he just, he looks, you know, watching his reaction to Michael Soroka throwing high inside yesterday, watching his reaction today on that single, that was something we didn't often see last year, unless it was frustration.
Well, I think with Caleb too, he said he wants to put on a show, right? I mean, when you're saying that out loud to a bunch of people that are listening, that puts a little bit more pressure on you to come up in big moments, you know, against bullpen arms and get the big time hit with two strikes, and that's exactly what he did. They're going to have to sign one of the two. Like, they just don't have the minor league system to make up for it. And you say this all the time on our show. I mean, if you lose both of those guys, where's your organization at? Like, to say that you can rebuild this thing in the American League East and make it look like you want it to look sooner than later, how would you do it without those two? I mean, at least one of them you got to keep. Again, the conversations between Vladdy, his agency and the front office, who has any idea? Like, you're back and forth with that. Everybody that's texting things back and forth, who knows how that's going to go? I just don't know if Bo continues to look healthy and basically you really don't know he's on the field. Like, that's when Bo's at his best, right?
That's a great point.
He's predictable defensively.
Yep.
He's running the bases the way he should look. He's getting the hits, covering the strike zones the way he should be covering them when he's Bo. I just don't know how you just don't say, man alive. I mean, we need to have a conversation about, you know, just going forward, who's going to be our shortstop? I mean, it looks like you got your everyday second baseman. How do you not keep your shortstop who sort of, if Vladdy's not here, he should face your franchise?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand that part of it. So, yeah, again, I don't know which one's staying, but I just don't see how any possible way you could let both of them leave.
Yeah, no,
no chance.
This organization, it'll take two players to replace Vladdy. If they let Bo go as well, we're probably looking at three players to replace with those guys.
Yeah,
deliver.
Rebuild wouldn't be the word. I wouldn't know what the word would be, but no. It wouldn't be rebuild.
No.
Yeah.
I think you're
fall
right.
Off a cliff, maybe?
Parachuting. Guy in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Guy?
Yeah, good point by last caller. Ross Atkins, sign this guy now before you price him out, you know, like you did with Vlad, so I'll say that. But comment and question. First, I want to say these two kids, Rodon and Wagner, I'm loving what I'm seeing, especially the confidence they're showing up at the plate. I think Will Wagner's new name should be Will Swagner. The guy who's he's just a stud. He looks like a little stud up there every time. He's focused. I love Rodon. And Barker, there's your two holes in the lineup that are filled up so far this year. I still think we need a DH. But just to piggyback on what I talked about opening day, and I was listening to Chris LaRue. He kind of like hit everything that I was talking about. And it was on the starting pitching, which I was concerned about. And like him, I was like, you know, Max Scherzer's one thumb injury away from being on the DL. And three innings later, he's on the DL. And they have not prepared themselves to, you know, add someone from the minor leagues or get some depth. And I'm just wondering, guys, I know it's too early in the season to make trades for starting pitchers because everyone's in it still, but there's a couple of teams out there that really aren't going to be competing this year. And the two that come to mind are Miami and Colorado. And listen, I know Alcantara would cost a boatload of prospects, but there's a guy out there in Colorado who I really think would be an incredible fit. He's on the last year of his contract. He makes $10 million a year. His lifetime ERA is 4.5 and playing in Colorado, that's like 3.5. And I'm just wondering, in any world, do you see the Jays, because they're one starting pitching injury away from blowing this season, and I think they really need to pick up another guy, and I'm talking about German Marquez. Oh, hang up and listen.
Yeah, Guy, I appreciate the call. I mean, I don't listen. I'm just going to mention Ryan Yarbrough and move on. I don't think at this point you trade for starting pitching. You know, you've done all this stuff in the offseason. You've made your deal for Jake Bloss. You know, you brought Easton Lucas in. And I know people are rolling their eyes, but the fact is you've done all this stuff. You're going to give the guys you have in hand an opportunity before you're going to look elsewhere. This stage of the year, almost everybody does that. We are waiting, by the way, to find out what the Jays plan for starting pitching tomorrow. Yariel Rodriguez pitched today. There was some thought that Kevin Gausman would make the start tomorrow and that Easton Lucas would make the start tomorrow and Kevin Gausman would be pushed back to Friday when they open against the Mets at Citi Field, or when they play in the Mets opener at Citi Field. I would still think that would be the way we'd go. They'll go, but we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see what John Schneider says today. And by the way, Max Scherzer, for people who missed it, did see Dr. Thomas Graham, a Pennsylvania hand specialist. He got a cortisone injection in his thumb. They're hoping that will take some of the swelling down. And basically right now, if the thumb responds, Max said today that his plan is to throw a bullpen session at Citi Field on Friday. And then we go from there. Now, of course, the weather is crappy in Citi Field on Friday. I don't know if that would have any impact on it. But to the caller's point, Kevin, I don't think you move for starting pitcher. You see what Easton Lucas can give you. I think you take a look at Jake Bloss at some point. Yep. And that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, I think Kevin Gausman's turned the corner. He's exciting to watch now. I mean, the velocity's there consistently. I think Chris Bassett's showing you that, you know, he can be that sort of workhorse to at least give your lineup a chance. Jose Barrios, I think, is pretty predictable. He'll give you what he can give you. Bowden Francis might be the X factor in all this with the way, you know, he goes out and attacks hitters and can get good hitters out with, you know, not featuring A-plus stuff, which is exciting. They need one surprise. Maybe it's that Easton Lucas. Like
he is, mentioned. By the way, he is starting tomorrow against Mackenzie Gore. So Easton Lucas gets a start tomorrow. Kevin Gausman goes Friday at Citi Field, which makes sense.
Well, especially since
I know we don't play the let's win every series. Let's take one series at a time. But you have won this series, so you got a little bit of wiggle room with Easton Lucas going tomorrow.
Boy, you sure would like to sweep it, though. I mean, if Easton can show up and just let the lineup grind it out like they did today and figure out how to way to get to Mackenzie Gore, going to be the easiest thing.
You got an off day Thursday. Jeff Hoffman is not overworked. I don't know how many pitches
Jimmy
did he
Garcia,
throw tonight.
Jimmy Garcia, I'm sure, can throw tomorrow.
Jimmy Garcia is ready
Chad
to go tomorrow.
Green didn't throw a lot today. He's probably available, too.
And like I would think Nick Sandlin's available.
Like, you got everybody to throw, you know, from that inning on. So, you know, again, I'm with you. I think they got what they got for now. Will they have to add sooner than later? Probably. I mean, again, it looks like the rotation is going to take them where they need to go. If they're going anywhere, it's probably going to be because of their pitching. It just seems to me like, how long can this last? I know it's fun watching them bunt them over and, you know, get the big time hit when it's – how many times can you win a game getting 12 singles? I mean, it's fun, and I hope it lasts for a long time. But sooner or later, some dude's going to have to start thumping some things, slugging some baseballs, and adding a little separation and giving the pitching staff a little bit of a break, you know, a little bit of a room for error. And hopefully the big three start doing that. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that after the break. We'll come back and talk about Vladdy and Anthony Santander in particular, but this was John. I was going to say John Lucas. I don't even know who the hell John Lucas is. This was John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, talking about Easton Lucas tonight. Easton Lucas getting the start tomorrow in the series finale against the Nats.
John, do you have any clarity on tomorrow's starter?
Yeah, Easton Lucas is going to start tomorrow. Yeah, he's got a pretty full pitch count, about 75, 85 pitches. Yeah, with the off day coming after tomorrow, kind of helps too with our bullpen.
What did you see from Lucas in camp that makes you comfortable with him here?
I think kind of understood that he can pitch here and had a little bit more conviction with his stuff. We really liked him when we acquired him and saw flashes of him being pretty good and liked him as a depth option. So I think this is a good lineup for him to hopefully navigate, especially at the top. But he's throwing the ball with more conviction. He's added, you know, a little bit of a sweeper and. I think if he can throw his changeups to righties, he's pretty good. So there's a lot to like and a lot of upside with him.
So there they go. Easton Lucas gets a start tomorrow. A reminder, it's a 3:07 start at the Rogers Center. Blair and Barker will be on from 2 to 3 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. And we'll be on after the game as well on TV and radio. And you can call us after the game because we're on TV, 416-413-3959. That's the back leg line. Leave your name and location. You can call us during the game with something that maybe surfaces for you during the game, or if you got some thoughts after the game as well, you can call us and we will get to it. 5-3, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Washington Nationals. We'll take a break and come back with more. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Chop to the right side, and that's going to sneak past the dive of Lowe down the right field line. Springer scores. Wagner scores. Bobichet throws his arms in the air. A two-run go-ahead single. 5-3 Blue Jays in the bottom of the eighth.
He's having good at-bats. And, that's kind of his thing. I've never seen a right-hander do that as much as he does and as well as he does. But huge hit. Needed it. Felt like we had good at-bats early. You know, scored some. Couldn't get the big hit. And, I think Bo has just been really consistent since the day he reported to camp, really. So, big-time spot, big-time hit.
Yeah, that is John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, talking about Bo Bichette, who came through with the game-winning hit tonight as the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Washington Nationals 5-3. And it's time now to take a look at the standings with Bet365. We're going to look in the American League East. The Orioles and Red Sox were off today. Red Sox played the Orioles yesterday in the Orioles opener, and as is often the case, there's an off day scheduled after an opener in some of these games in the East. But as you look at the standings right now, the Tampa Bay Rays, they are 4-1. They beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 7-0 today. The Pirates earlier today, by the way, sent down David Bednar, and if I had a dollar for every trade rumor involving David Bednar, the Pirates' former closer, and the Blue Jays, well, I'd still be doing this show because it's not like there have been a million of them. But anyhow, the Rays beating the Pirates 7-0, and the New York Yankees, they did set a record. They hit two more home runs today, 17 through four games. They lost though 7-5 to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and yes, Anthony Volpe did hit a home run with the torpedo. Huh. So there you go.
I think David Schneider's using the torpedo bat.
I could make joke about it. The only thing it's torpedoing so far is his career, it seems like.
Be nice.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-660-590. 590-590 is a text line. Hey, there are some texts about David Schneider. A couple of texts. Bevan Ottawa, David Schneider may be Buffalo bound. Being right-handed, buying himself some time. And Matt from Mississauga, great win tonight. He didn't like John Schneider pinch hitting for a guy who rarely strikes out, with a guy who has a high strikeout rate and wasn't even a replacement level player last season. Talking about the decision to pinch hit David Schneider, which, I mean, I didn't have you got David Schneider on the team for that reason. I will say this, though, Kevin, and this is, look, we've talked about this. Dalton Varsho is going to be back at some point. Now, we did find out today that he is not going to be throwing in a game until the middle of this month. So yeah. I'm beginning to think that we may be looking at him around May 1st. So there's still a little bit of, you know, runway here for guys to separate themselves. But, you know, if I'm the Jays and Dalton Varsho comes back, he is a lefty hitter. I get that. Uh-huh. But if I'm going by handedness as the thing, Miles Straw, Davis Schneider, you know, at least Miles Straw is going to give me the great defense. I mean, I have some concerns about Davis Schneider. I really do.
Yeah, look, I think there's too much going on. I think there has to be one of those moments where he walks by a mirror and he goes, man alive, this ain't working. Like all the tinkering and the hand movement and the leg kick to your ear, trying to catch up to dudes that throw elevated 98 miles an hour who are left-handed, ain't going to work. How do I beat the guy to the spot? Can I beat the guy to the spot? Right now, the answer consistently would be no. Do I have a chance to do that with what I'm doing and trying to do at the plate on an everyday basis after I sit on the bench for 2 days in a row? Right now, the answer is no. You got to be real with yourself. I understand what they're trying to do. And, you know, they're trying to force him into slugging all the time. Is that real, Jeff? Like, is that a realistic thing to ask him to do just because he had a good month?
Yeah, I don't know.
When he first got called up, like the rubber's met the road with him. Now, you know, you every chance you get now, he's going to be gripping the bat a little tighter, kicking it a little higher, swinging it a little harder. So Again, I'm gonna root for him until he's not a big leaguer anymore. A
reminder, by the way, that you can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly. Ontario only. Dave in North Van, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for having me on. I guess I want to make a comment about sort of this roster construction. I suppose from sort of a watchability perspective, because certainly I think we can all remember there's been big stretches over the last year or two where it's just felt almost unwatchable. But, you know, while I hear what you're saying, Kevin, a few minutes ago, you were talking about how, you know, can a winning season really be sustained on, a bunch of base hits and bunts and getting them on, getting them over and getting them in. But I'll tell you, from a watchability perspective, I'm really enjoying all the way this roster is constructed and the kind of platoon advantage opportunities that mm-hmm. arise and the defensive substitutions. And we haven't seen too much pinch running yet, but, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities. You know, Miles Straw coming in for a Kirk, for example. Just as from a fan perspective, from pure watchability, I think it's really interesting to kind of think along with the manager. And we're, of course, lucky as the Jays fans to have good broadcast teams both on the radio and on TV. And I think it's a really interesting roster. There's a lot of players that, you know, not asked to do too much. If they're just deployed within their lane, I think I think the games are really interesting right now. And, you know, I know that if Kevin Barker had it his way, there'd be no need for bunting or stealing or pinch running because there'd just be nothing but home runs. But, you know, I think sooner or later, Vladdy and Santander are going to start hitting home runs and that'll be fine. But in the meantime, I think the games have been interesting to watch. And, you know, it helps that the team's off to a 4-2 start. And I, of course, reserve the right to come back on the show and I should complain about the general manager when it stops working. But for now and so far, I think it's an interesting kind of a baseball. I've enjoyed watching.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, so much of the talk last year was about run prevention. I'm a big fan of a 3-run homer, especially when it's hit by Anthony Santander or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's how you're going to win ultimately in the AL East. But yeah, I do like the fact that there's stuff happening on the bases with this team. And I enjoy watching the young guys. I enjoy watching Will Wagner. I enjoy watching Alan Roden. I like Kevin, I wonder about Alan Roden's stance, but yeah. Hey, the guys are competing. They don't seem to make mistakes. Now, again, it's only 6 games.
Sure.
But Roden runs good routes. I don't worry when the ball's hit towards him. Will Wagner's been okay at third base. Mm-hmm. What I'm really kind of starting to realize, Kevin, and it's a subtle thing, but I'm really beginning to realize the impact Andrés Giménez is having on this infield. Like, there are just little subtle things you're seeing from Vladdy and from Bo in particular, he's really settled down this infield defense.
I think John has allowed the players to be themselves. If you know how to bunt, bunt. You know, if you can bunt in a big situation against a tough lefty, throws really hard, try and do it. Like, you know, those are not probably moves or plays he's putting on. He's allowing the player to be himself. I think it helps that Kirk and Springer are actually doing something offensively. And Giménez is what you just mentioned there, right? Those three are surprises. Like, we didn't really think, you know, this early that they were going to get off to good starts and contribute and – you know, look at George spring training. Like, you know, we were talking about, you know, who's going to drive him to the airport. Like,
he's making hard contact on velo.
Absolutely.
He's not just making hard contact on slop. He's making hard contact on velo.
They won the game today because he led off the inning with a base hit, right? So he's doing things to help a baseball team win, and that's a big deal. So, yeah, look, I'm with the caller. I think it's more fun when you're winning to watch things like this. You know, if they do this and they lose, nobody's going to like it. They're not. Like, you know, and to think that you're going to win or, you know, even win 80 games trying to do it this way is going to be tough. I mean, they got really good pitching. Their bullpen is way better. They got an elite closer. If he's healthy, he will be as elite, I think, as it comes. It's just where the home run's coming. Sooner or later,
well,
you know, pockets of this lineup's going to have to start hitting them.
I wanted to ask you about that very quickly. You've just got a couple of minutes left. Anthony Santander now is 4-for-24 with the Blue Jays. He had an infield hit tonight. Vladdy was 0-for-3 with a walk, hit into double play, struck out. Both he and Bo struck out in the second inning with the runner in scoring position. again, it's only six games, and we had Dan Shulman on today, and Dan mentioned that, you know, let's hold off the alarm bells when it comes to Anthony Santander, because as you said, Anthony Santander is the type of guy, when he hits home runs, are going to come in bunches.
No question.
They're going to hit 3-2 games or something like that, and then he's going to go two games without one, then two and again. I mean, that's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
Do you see anything that concerns you, though, as a former hitter with what you're seeing from him?
Yeah,
anything
not really.
At all?
Not really. I'm sure he's trying too hard. That's a big deal too, right? Just signed, made all that money. They're expecting him to come in here. His nickname's Tony Taters.
Vladdy pressing?
Yeah. I mean, just like he looked last year to start the season, a little bit of that too, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you know, it's he goes, they go. It's that kind of thing, right? And they get Santander and him going at the same time. This team will look totally different. And then all this bunting going on, everybody will be loving that. I don't think so. I mean, give it another 10 or 15 games before we – you know, have to run in front of traffic.
The Toronto Blue Jays are 4-2. They can sweep the Washington Nationals tomorrow with a win over Mackenzie Gore. It's not going to be easy. 3:07 is the first pitch at the Rogers Center. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Winnipeg and lovely Winkler, Manitoba. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.